Hello, church. Welcome to online church. Here we are again in the middle of coronavirus, stay at home. And Harriet and I are sitting at our kitchen table. We're trying our best to stay away from all the virus stuff going on out there. So we're bringing church to you from our home into your home. So some of you are probably in your living rooms. Maybe you're at your kitchen table. I know some people are sitting in bed watching, and so God bless you. I just want you to know that Harriet and I are just so honored to serve as your pastors. And I want you to know that we're praying for you. Our entire staff, our whole team, I'm so proud of our team that serves so hard, works so hard, and they're praying as well. So we're all lifting you up, and we're all in this together. One of the things that I kind of like about this setting is it feels like we're together in some ways. Like you're at your table, I'm at my table, and so all that's really good. Today we're going to experience communion together. And communion is, it's just so deep in so many things, and we're going to learn about communion today and kind of how it relates to some of the Passover and how Jesus gave his life for us. But one of the aspects of communion that's important is the fact that it's to be done together at times. The church comes together. So kind of like community, there's communion. And so it's a together thing. And so today when we take communion, we're going to do it at the same time together as a sense of community coming together. So probably you don't have your communion supplies ready. And so there's a good chance of that. And if you'll notice, we don't have ours either. We have coffee, water, but we don't have what we would consider for our communion supplies. So while you're going to get your communion supplies, I know all of you are up, you're getting out of bed right now, and they're running, run to the kitchen. And so I'm going to go from our table to my fridge and get our stuff. So we're doing it together. I want us to be all together today. I like everything together. So. You can just go with me to the fridge. And by the way, here we are. I've got, you can see here, the recording team is here. Everybody wave, behind the scenes. It's awesome. So communion supplies are in here. By the way, I'm not sure what the organic superfood is that Harriet has, but that will not serve as communion today. But we did get ready. We got a little bread, a little juice. There we go, babe.
Got it.
We are ready.
Awesome.
We are ready.
Good.
So while you are continuing to get your stuff together, and honestly, I don't really care if it's juice and bread because it's symbolic. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. If you don't have juice, if you don't have bread, get water, whatever you can do to help remember what Christ has done for us. And so we'll get a little deeper into that. But while you're getting your stuff, just a couple quick things, announcement-wise, church things going on.
This is like announcements at church.
This is the announcement segment.
Like announcements.
So usually someone else does this, but we're all at one time doing it.
Yep.
next week is our Easter services. Gosh, I love Easter. I'm so, in some ways...
It's the Christian Super Bowl.
I'm so disappointed, though, that we don't get to come together for it.
So
we want to make it as special as we can. So next Sunday, Easter service, we're only going to have one live experience for you to jump online and be a part of it. So it's going to be at 10 a.m. And so it'll be on the screen there, Easter service, 10 a.m., and we want everyone to tune in at one time. We'll all be online together.
Where do they go?
They go to our website. So everything's from the website, lifecc.com. Mm-hmm. And it's just so obvious. Click on the buttons there for the service. And so, yeah, it's going to be a part of that. And it's going to be great next week. So looking forward to that. I also want to thank you just for your financial generosity through this season. We have been blessed by so many people giving online, and you have been so faithful. And so we just want to say thank you. But honestly, it's not just for, you know, it's definitely not just for us, but for church.
Right, yeah.
But we give unto the Lord. It's our way we honor God, and there's so many ways we honor God. And so I just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to God in that area. It does make a difference. Makes a difference in our lives when we all give. Makes a difference in the church. It's just the right thing to do. So thank you for your generosity. We encourage you to stay in that mode as well. All right, so what we want to do is to take the moment. So now we've had our announcements.
Yes.
And so normally we have a prayer time.
Yeah, so I'm going to set up the prayer time for you. What we really want you to do this morning is as if you were in the service, and how we always have worship, and then we go into some transitions, and then we always have a prayer time in there, and we give you an opportunity to receive prayer. We give you an opportunity to come into agreement with one another, believing, partnering with one another, believing for God's yes for your life. And so we want you to take a step of faith today. If you have something that you want prayer for, we ask you to put it in the chat box. Type it in, as much information as you want to. It is, I believe, that as we sit at those computers or our keyboard and we type in the prayer request in faith, it's like we're moving toward the answer. We're moving toward God's yes.
That's so good.
In our prayer time, just like you would if you got up out of your seat and went to one of the prayer ministers. God is meeting the church all over the world, right where we are. The church is not a building. Mm. It is not a building, and we're learning that. We're learning that all of this online experience is bringing us all to this place
right.
together. So we want you to put that, take that step of faith, put your prayer in the chat box. And then I want to pray
yes.
now before we start the sermon, before we get into the message today, which is going to be great. But I'd love for all of you to pray with us. Mm. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your kingship over the earth at this time. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of the people at Life Church, for all those homes that my voice is even going into
yes,
right now. I declare that your favor, God, will be around those homes as a shield. I pray, Lord, that you will bless, that there will be no good thing withheld from you during this time, Lord, during this quarantine, stay at home time. So God, we give this time to you. We ask that you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, anoint our words.
Amen.
And that it would be the anointing that would break the yoke of the enemy.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, God, that you will just carry your kingdom on our words this morning. Anything that's from our flesh, I pray that it would fall by the wayside and die. But whatever is brought forth out of your Spirit, God, I ask today that you would cause it to bear fruit, and it would be fruit that remains. And so we give you the rest of this morning, God, and we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, babe.
Amen.
So, jumping into the message today, we brought the big Bibles out today.
We did.
So I don't know if you have your Bible with you at home, but we wanted to take a little deeper dive today into the Word, and so just kind of lean into it. We know that the Word it teaches us that when we hear the Word of God, the message of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that it builds our faith, and so we want to leave today with our faith at a new level, increase in our faith. And so we're going to dive into the Word together. And so we're going to jump into several scriptures today. Let me begin as kind of introduction to where we're going, because next week is Easter, and it's the most significant event in history. There is no other single event that has impacted our world like the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's also the most important celebration for us as believers to look back at that and celebrate that He is the only one that was risen back to life.
Yeah,
and so proving that He was the Son of God. But before next week, before we look at a risen Christ, I think it's important for us to look at the suffering Christ, the suffering part, what He did for us in this week leading up to Easter, where his body was beaten and bruised and broken. He hung on a cross. He died for our sins. It's a little weightier thought, and that's okay. Sometimes we have to understand the depth of something to get the appreciation for something else. And so today we want to talk about remembering Christ. My sermon title today, our sermon title today, sorry,
no,
we're together
it's yours.
How to remember our Savior. And we want to learn how to do that, how to remember our Savior. And so communion is a very special yet extremely simple meal, a little bit of bread, a little bit of juice, that renews our appreciation for what Christ has done for us, and the suffering and the death, the body that was broken, his blood that was shed. And communion is that way that helps us to appreciate what he has done. Because what happens to all of us in any situation in life is that familiarity tends to erode our appreciation for things. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you've owned something for a period of time, you lose that first part of when you first get something, how excited you are, like this table. Mm-hmm. I remember when we bought this table, we had set aside money, we were prepared, and you ordered it online, it came in, then I had to put it together. And so I remember that. I remember when people first came to the house, I was like, check out the
table.
We were so pumped about the table.
So good.
Well, now it's a couple years later, and you know, it tends to be just the place where I eat and play board games, and you know, it doesn't have that same fun luster it had. So we lose appreciation for things over time. Maybe you might relate that to even anniversaries.
Yeah, you know, you think about this in relationship with marriage. The reason that we celebrate anniversaries is because you want a stop point where you remember and you think back, you know, to your first love. You think back to what caused you to fall in love and want to get married. It's a mark in the road that says this is not just my roommate. This is not just another guy. You know, this is my husband. This is my covenant partner for life. And it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's what anniversaries are. They're built in like memory makers for us. It's always, you know, or not always, but it can be that way with our walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar. You know, the things of God can become very mundane and kind of normal and everyday unless we stop and mark it and make a memory of it and remember. And you know, Tim and I were talking about this morning about the Jews and about the Israelites and how they are so good at remembering. And it's almost built into their person, to the fabric of who they are as God's people, to stop and to remember and to make a memorial, to memorialize something, to remember what God has done.
So good.
Never forget it. Teach it to your children. Talk about it. Let them teach it to their children, and on and on and on. And it's
right.
been passed down through generations. And so when we take communion, we are stopping and we are remembering our Savior. When
yes.
I was a little girl, I went to the First Baptist Church in Waynesville, North Carolina.
You were a good little Baptist girl, weren't you?
In the mountains, I was a good little Baptist girl. And I can remember sitting there with my feet kind of dangling over the pews. And I remember looking at the communion table in the front of the church. And it had these words literally etched into the front of it. Do this in remembrance of me. And we're going to talk about that a little later when we take communion together. But, you know, it's like Jesus wants us to stop and remember.
Yep.
Remember what he did for us. There's a passage in Revelation 2 that I'm going to read right now. It's Revelation 2, 4 and 5. And it said, I'm going to read in the New King James Version. It says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. We have to stop and remember what we were, where we were before Jesus.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I was not in a good place before Jesus. Mm. Stop and remember how far he has carried us since we had fallen from the beginning, from before we knew him. And remember our first love. And that's what communion does. It just is about renewing our minds and remembering our Savior.
Absolutely. All right, so what we want to do is to take this deep dive about remembering our Savior. And I think it's important maybe to even look back at some different aspects of kind of the New Testament view of it and then where it came from in Passover. The practice of taking the bread and the wine and remembering Jesus' sacrifice was actually instituted by the Lord Jesus himself the night before he died on the cross. And it was during the festival of of Passover.
Passover. Mm-hmm.
And so all the Jewish people had gathered in Jerusalem, and then it was customary that they would gather in small groups, basically, and share a Passover meal together. So Jesus was with his closest disciples, and they were in the upper room, and they shared a meal together, Passover meal. But at the end of that, he offered them some bread and some wine, and when he did it, he said to them, "This is my body that's going to be broken." Now, it hadn't happened yet, so he was saying it's about to come, prophetically,
yes.
But he said, "This is my body," and he was teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "This represents the juice," or the wine represents his blood that would be shed for them. And he did that to prophetically speak to them so they would always have a way to remember what he had done. Now, if you were to take that moment at Passover, march forward about 20 years, the church had been birthed at that point. Mm-hmm. And there was a little church in Corinth, mm-hmm. and the Apostle Paul was teaching them about remembering the communion, remembering these elements, because it helped us remember what Christ had done for us. And so out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 25, do you have it there?
Yep.
You want to read it?
Sure.
Awesome. Take it.
"For I received the Lord from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'"
So he was teaching the church to take these elements and to remember what Christ has done for us,
yes.
the sacrifice he made for us. And so from that point on, through all of church history and all the way up until the today, mm-hmm. what is today's date? I don't even know what today's date
today's
is.
Today's April
so
2nd. It's
April 2nd.
It's that weird time
yeah, so
where we don't know what day
we're watching
is.
This, though. What so day we'll be watching
on
it.
That's Sunday, the 5th,
all right.
April 5th.
Awesome. So for all the way from the church in Corinth to today, the church has been practicing this special little Passover meal with bread and juice or wine to represent and remember what Christ has done.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harriet and I have always felt it's important in our life.
Yeah.
And so we brought that into the church.
Yeah, for our church. Our church, we had decided, you know, really from early on, that we did not want communion to just be something that people did on Christmas Eve or mm-hmm. on Easter or, you know, special times of the year, special, you know, holy days. We wanted it to be something that people would get in the habit of at least weekly. We have some families in our church that actually take communion together every day. I have heard it called before, it is the meal that heals. And why that's so is because when we identify with what Jesus did for us, we are healed fully.
Mm.
Body, soul, spirit, Amen. Mind, all of it. It's healing to us to identify with him and to remember him.
Hey, let me interject real quick. I remember a season when you were going through some health issues and
mm-hmm.
before we diagnosed the celiac stuff in your life. And I remember you and I taking communion every day for a season
to
build our faith and,
you
know, really come mm-hmm. into a contact. Listen, check this out. When we hold this bread in our hand,
mm-hmm.
man, we are coming into contact with the greatest love ever. The love of Jesus pouring his life out for us.
Yep.
And so it's like we're holding it and eating it and becoming a part of it.
Yeah.
And so we believed at that point, still do, that it's the, what was you used to say?
The meal that heals.
Meal that heals. That's
the
right.
The meal that heals.
And so great.
It's very, it's not just like part of your rote religious activities, or it shouldn't be. It should be part of your worship before the Lord. It should be part of, you know, what drives you to him, just like worship, just like prayer, just like getting into the Word of God. It should be another element of your worship to him. So today we want to take communion as mm-hmm. an act and as a way to remember the sacrifice that Jesus did, and we want to do it on this Sunday before Easter.
Absolutely. So just before we do it, let's just take that dive for a moment and look at Passover and why that was important to communion today. And so Passover, it's Old Testament. If we understand some of the symbolic nature of Passover, and everything in the Old Testament just points to Jesus. It just, it reveals Christ in so many ways. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they lived as slaves and under bondage to the Egyptians for a period of about 430 years.
A long time.
The Israelites were, they were slaves. They were building the empire of the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. They were suffering, struggling, and they began to cry out to God for deliverance. And so somewhere in the process of that, their prayer, God heard their prayer and was ready to deliver them out of their bondage.
Yes.
So he sent Moses to be the instrument,
the
vessel that God would use. And God always uses a vessel, a person to do his works on earth. And so Moses was that vessel. And so Moses went and confronted Pharaoh and said, you know, let God's people go. Like, let them go. Well, I can almost understand why Pharaoh didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people were building his empire.
The labor force.
And they were free labor. And so he was like, no, his heart was hardened. And so in order for God to change his heart, to change his you know, hard heart, he sent 10 plagues, varying degrees of pain across the Egyptians.
Yeah.
The last plague, though, was, I think, probably the most severe, obviously devastating plague. And God sent an angel of death that would go through the entire nation. And it also traveled through all of the Hebrews, all of all the Israelites at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so this applied to everyone, that this angel of death would go through and kill the firstborn child of every family. But God had a plan for his people.
Yeah.
And so he gave instructions to Moses to give to the Israelites on how to prepare so that when the angel of death comes through, that it would pass over their households, which is where we get that term Passover.
That, and that word Passover is the word Pesach in the Hebrew. And it, it just means to omit. So just to leave, whatever is being passed over is being omitted. So
just pop that right out of there. Good job. So on the night that this plague was to come, they were given these instructions. They were to slaughter a lamb, smear the blood of that lamb over the doorpost of their home. Then they were to shelter inside. Kind of interesting. We're all sheltered inside.
Yes.
They were to go in their homes, shut the door, and then eat the cooked lamb.
In haste.
In, like, ready to go.
In haste.
They had
they
to be
were
ready
to eat
go.
It quickly. Yes.
So major thoughts about this and the significance about how it points to Jesus is, first of all, understanding they slaughtered a lamb. Why is that important? Because under the old covenant, the way all sin was paid for was by sacrificing an animal.
Right.
So understand that sin is what separates us from God.
Yes.
And the only way to deal with that sin is there had to be a punishment for that sin. Mm-hmm. And so what they did under the old covenant is they would take an animal, they actually laid their hands on the animal, and they would transfer their sin, their thing they did wrong, into that animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the animal would carry their sin to be slaughtered.
To the altar,
And so they were to slaughter a lamb on this Passover, this night that they were to be passed over. And how this points to Jesus is today we understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Yes.
So out of 1 Peter 1:18, it says, you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors.
Mm.
God paid a ransom for us.
Yeah.
He paid the price. But it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses its value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless lamb, or the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And so Jesus is known as the Lamb of God, and he was the one that carried our sin. So instead of us being penalized for that sin, it just doesn't even, there's so much grace in that.
Yeah,
it just blows me away.
It's beautiful. You know, when you were younger, do you ever remember seeing the pictures of Jesus with the lamb around his neck, you know, and you see him carrying the lamb? It's just a beautiful picture of how we are those lambs now. And now he carries us, and he carried us through this act of literally becoming the sacrifice for us.
He did it
for us. It's a beautiful thing.
So instead of we taking the punishment, us taking the punishment, he said, I'll take that upon myself.
Yeah.
And then he, just like that little spotless lamb, their little lamb, he became that lamb that carried our sin.
Yeah.
And that's why this week is important, because this is the week he carried all the sins of mankind and died on the cross. So under the old covenant, the sacrifice was an animal.
Yes.
Under the new covenant, when we believe in Jesus as our Savior, he takes our sin for us.
There's an exchange.
That's why in the scripture we read earlier, when we talked about the bread and the juice, Jesus said, this is the new covenant by my blood.
Yes.
So we believe in him.
Yes.
And so I'm really grateful we're under a new covenant. I wouldn't want to be killing animals.
I couldn't imagine killing a little lamb.
One last verse on this is in John 1:29. It says that they saw Jesus coming toward John that day.
Yeah.
And he said, look, and he pointed out to his disciples.
Yes.
He said,
yes.
Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah,
and so he identified
powerful.
Him as the Lamb of God that day.
So powerful.
So the Lamb is important. That sacrifice of that day for the Israelites, they slaughtered the Lamb.
Huge.
And that points us to Christ.
Yeah.
What about the blood?
Well, you know, the blood, the Israelites were instructed to smear the blood of the Lamb over their doorposts. So if you imagine that the doorway had a wooden threshold, the top of it would have blood put on it. And then on both sides of their doorposts, they called those the doorposts, on each side of the door, it was very symbolic of what was to come of the cross. You know, the hands, the head, you know, all of that was all, it's all pointing to Jesus.
Always.
Everything, every Israel, Hebrew feast, all of the things that they celebrate, all points to Jesus, all of it. And so this literally, though, for the people of Israel, they sheltered under the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is what kept them safe. And then when the angel of death came through the land that night, it viewed the home. It looked at the home through the blood of Jesus, through the blood or the blood of the Lamb, as it passed over. And it was just a powerful, powerful thing. So just a couple points under that is that, you know, in the end of every person's life, there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. It's just, the Bible says it. We didn't write that part of the Bible. It actually says that every person will be judged, but that judgment of death will be passed over by every person who is under the blood of Jesus. God doesn't see us as just regular people. He sees us through the blood, the shed blood of his son. And the second point is that, you know, we are all sheltering now from the coronavirus. We are sheltering in our safe places, in our homes, in our dwellings, and with people that we trust and people that, you know, we know are clean, basically. So as believers, we can proclaim the blood of Jesus over our homes. And, you know, it says in Psalm 91 that no plague or harm shall come nigh my dwelling.
Amen to that.
And there, in every house we have ever lived in, Tim and I have written that down on four little tiny pieces of paper and planted, literally dug up the corners of our property and planted that scripture in the ground.
That's good.
No plague or harm will come nigh my dwelling. We have stopped a little bit short of putting blood on the doorpost and all of that.
New covenant.
But
new
we
covenant.
Have put the word of God in the ground over that which God has entrusted to us. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. The blood of Jesus. And it is very powerful against the schemes of the enemy.
Absolutely.
When you say and declare the blood of Jesus in whatever way, you remind the enemy every single time of that act of the cross. Mm. That yes, there was a death,
Amen.
But there was a resurrection 3 days later. And that the church is eternal because of that. And that there is no end to it forever. It reminds the devil of the greatest defeat of ever, of his life. If you could say he has life, whatever. But
yeah.
So that's the issue of the blood. It's kind of, and we talked yesterday a little bit, Tim and I were talking about how, can you imagine being the Israelites and with fear and trembling coming out of your little dwelling where they were literally slaves to Egypt, coming out and realizing that not one soul in your home was touched or harmed, and that masses of children were killed during the night. I feel like prophetically that God's people, we are going to come out of this season.
Come on.
There are going to be some things, there are some things that mark history. 9/11 marked history in America. I feel like from this time on, we are going to come out of this, and we're going to remember things as pre-quarantine and post-quarantine. I feel like God is doing such a shift and such a new thing. The people of God, when we get to the other side of this, we are going to stand in fear and awe of our God, just like the Israelites did that day, as I can only imagine they did.
So good.
So what about the meal that they ate, the Seder meal?
Jump to that. Just one quick thought. We could bounce off so many ideas off this.
Yep.
It's so deep.
We don't have enough film time.
Okay. Well, just real quick. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that's under the blood?
Well, yes.
And if you don't understand that concept, you would go, that's
so
really weird.
It
really jumps all the way back to where the Israelites were in their homes under the blood, and it protected them from every plague. And it was their place of salvation and deliverance.
Yeah.
And so the next time you hear someone say, well, that's under the blood, I want you to get the picture that Christ has put us under his
under the blood,
and we sit in that protection.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And so that way it's not weird.
Yeah, right.
It sounds weird.
Right.
It's not weird.
Kind of creepy.
The meal. It's kind of interesting about the meal. So let me just give a thought. The lamb was slaughtered and then...
And eaten quickly.
And brought into the house.
Yes.
It was primarily, though, and if you read through Exodus 12, it says that the father's role was to slaughter the lamb and bring that in. Mm-hmm. It was the father's role. Mm-hmm. So what the father did is he created an atmosphere for his family to be able to be protected by the Lord.
Yes.
And so can I just
And he
say,
also smeared the doorpost.
He smeared the doorpost.
Yeah,
that was the father's role.
Yeah.
You have an important role in your household. Your wife isn't the one that's supposed to carry the total spiritual atmosphere of your home. Fathers have an important role in that. If you're a single mom, then, you know, God bless you, because God will use you to serve in both capacities.
God is your head of your home.
He covers it. But if you're married, dads, we are to be the ones that said, we should be the ones taking family to church.
That's good.
We should be like, hey, we're all getting in the car, we're going to church, or maybe we're getting in the living room and, and you're gathering. But what you do is you set that atmosphere for your family to then participate in the meal. And that's why they did it, because everyone has to participate in the meal.
Yes, that's true.
I can't get my children saved for them.
No, right.
I can only bring them to the table.
Lead them,
I can bring them to the table, but they have to eat. And that's why the communion elements are important, because every person has to do it themselves. And so they sat at the table and they did it themselves. Yeah, every person must believe in Jesus, and no one can do that for you.
That's right.
So much in that whole Passover portion.
It's big.
And it all points to Jesus. So we have just three quick points that we want to share with you, and then we're going to do communion together. And we won't take a long time on this, but it's about remembering. And so how do we approach communion? How do we remember Christ through these elements? Harriet, you take the first point.
The first point is that we want to remember his sacrifice as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But let me tell you, he takes away your sin.
That's good.
Your personal individual sin. He takes away your sin. So we want to stop and we want to remember that. When you believe that Jesus is your Savior, you are sheltering, just like those Israelites did, under the blood of Jesus. So God looks at you through the blood of Jesus, and all that he sees is a sinless and forgiven person through the blood of his Son. So you never have to worry about if God is happy with you or if he's condemning
he's
you. I used to think God was mad at me and he was in heaven with like a big stick and ready to like, you know, but
it's
your salvation is not based on whether you are a good or bad. It is based on what Jesus has done for you and did for you. And if you believe in Jesus, then you're 100% forgiven, and you're 100% saved, and you're 100% free from, listen, guilt or shame.
Yes.
You are free.
Be free.
Jesus has made you free. That's why it's called the gospel. It's the good news.
Yes.
It is good news. So say this with me today. I am saved.
I am saved.
I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
I am set free because of Jesus.
I am set free because of Jesus.
Yes, say this with me too.
I have no guilt.
Or shame. From my past.
From my past.
My past is my past.
My past is past.
My hope and joy.
Comes from knowing
Jesus.
From knowing Jesus.
Who has saved me.
Who has saved me. Amen to
that.
Yeah,
what's number two?
All right, so we remember a sacrifice. So today when we do our communion, remember a sacrifice. The second thing is remember His promises that come with salvation. So the Israelites, when they were protected, they were also delivered.
Yeah.
The same act that protected them delivered them.
Yeah.
It was a total encompassing part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 103 speaks of that. And it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me."
Yeah.
I don't want to ever forget.
The benefits.
So what are those benefits? It says He forgives all my sins.
Yes.
And He heals all of my diseases.
Yes.
He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things.
Yes.
My youth is renewed like the eagles.
I'll tell you something interesting about that.
Go with it.
He crowns me with love. And you know, the word corona and coronavirus, that word means crown.
Mm.
So we want to turn this around. We want to flip
everything.
The script on the enemy and say, I'm crowned with love.
Oh, that's
I'm
so
not
good.
Crowned with a virus. I'm crowned with love in this time. Because that's what God's word says.
And perfect love casts out all fear. So
right.
We don't have to be fearful.
Right. So
oh,
it's a whole
God.
Deal.
So great.
Okay.
Hey, so we want to remember. So when you come to the table or your communion, remember that His sacrifice bought your salvation, but also the promises. And so you can say, God, I thank You for my healing. Mm-hmm. I thank You for protecting me. I thank You for my job, my business is going to prosper.
Yeah.
I thank You for my marriage getting strong.
Yeah,
I mean, everything. We're crowned with His love, and He just brings all the blessings.
So great.
Last point.
The last point is to remember our love and our commitment to Jesus. You know, the word, I was just talking about this in sisterhood. The Bible says that if we love Him, we will obey Him. And so our love and our commitment to follow Jesus, that's something we have to remind ourselves about. So you should always be having a personal revival when you take the communion elements. It should revive your spirit.
Mm.
It should revive you in surrendering your life to the Lord and following Him and obeying the Lord, all of that, making a commitment to seek Him first above all else. I want to encourage and even challenge and charge you all today. When you take this meal today, I want to encourage you to let today start something new in your life. And I want to ask you to be brave enough to remove the compromises in your life.
Mm.
Here's where I'm compromising. Here's where I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Today, omit that. Pass it over. So that you can cross over into a new day. Take it out of your life. Take it out. So it's a moment to dive in deep. It's kind of a serious moment. It's a moment to completely trust God and to determine to live by faith. If you don't feel like you have enough faith, ask Him. He will give you another measure of it.
Amen.
That's what the Bible tells us.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's a decision to become dangerous to the enemy.
Yes.
And it's a moment to stand up and say, "Count me in, Lord. I'm all Yours. Change me. Use me for Your glory. I surrender to You."
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. So we're getting ready to take communion together.
Okay.
So you want to remember those three things. Remember His sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Remember His promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then we remember my commitment.
Right.
My commitment.
Yes.
So maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Christ. And so before we take this communion together, I want to invite anyone that's listening in on this, that if you've never said yes to Jesus, believed in Jesus to be your Savior, then this is your moment to do that. So let's just bow our heads for this moment. And if you want to surrender your life to Jesus and say, "I believe in Him, I want to be covered by the blood of Jesus, I want to be saved, I want to be delivered." If that's you, if you want to be transitioned in your heart from death to life, would you pray this with me? Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, the precious Lamb of God. He died for my sins so that I may live. Mm-hmm. I believe in Jesus, and I thank you today that all of my sins are forgiven, and I commit to live for him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you prayed that today, let us know. You can click the button in the line in the chats there or wherever it is, and let us know you gave your life to Christ today. We would love to connect with you. So let's take communion together, and I'll move this out of the way so we can pull this closer to us. And so Paul taught us to take the element of the bread, and so you can get your bread. And we remember his body that was broken for us.
Yes.
The Bible says that he bore our sins yes. in his body yes. that we may live. Mm-hmm. And so we just remember him yes. and we thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And then our juice is in the cup here. We're going to dip. It's kind of yeah. our little way of doing it.
Yeah.
But his blood was shed for us. The new covenant. Yeah. So now we know God because of Jesus
yes.
and his blood.
Yes.
And so we just dip it in there.
Yeah. Thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Remember Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
We thank you. Lord, I just thank you for every person that's with us today.
Yeah.
We ask that you would deliver all your people.
Yes.
Set Lord. Us free from everything that holds us back.
Yes, God.
Protect us from the sicknesses and everything mm-hmm. that comes against us.
Yes.
We stand or sit here at the table under the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. protected. We shelter under his almighty
yes.
name.
Yes.
We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, church, for tuning in with us. We love you.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you on some of our social media stuff throughout the week on the different platforms, but especially next Easter together. God bless you.
Have a great week.